I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 6:04. This is the committee meeting for Planning, Development, and Extension Education. It's October 9th, 2013. And Teddy, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
We are in compliance. The announcement was published in the Kenosha News on September 26th and October 1st.
In attendance are Supervisor Dodge, Supervisor Underhill, Supervisor Skalitsky will be here in a little bit. Chairman Bruning said she was going to be a little bit late. Myself and the two youth and governance members. Number two, presentation of the 2014 proposed UW extension budgets.
Okay, and now that I know what page I'm on, thank you to Supervisor Dodge for bringing his original budget. I had an old copy of it. So we begin on page 341. So ladies, if you want to follow, I don't know if Emily, you're able to pull the budget up on your laptop, if you so are so inclined to follow budget pages.
Do you have it?
No.
It's on the county website.
I have it. I have it on a flash drive.
Oh, you do?
It was quicker.
Yeah, it might be quicker.
It wasn't emailed. That's why I was like,
oh, yeah. I think it's, you'd actually have to go to the county website and get it.
It's on a flash drive right there.
That'll help you when you're in the other meeting and they're doing the budget over there, too.
$341.
A lot of pages in that budget. Do you see the binders they have?
That's crazy.
$341. Did you find
it? There's probably like 10 or so blank like pages that aren't numbered. So it would be on the bottom.
Little org chart that looks like this. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so now that page just shows you that it looks like we only have one employee, and that's because we have one full-time county employee. Okay. And that's Donna Zerovi, our support staff. She's our senior office associate. Okay, that's why it looks like that. Everyone else is... That's right, that's Donna. She's our support staff, correct. And so the page that really is probably the most comprehensive description of our budget is it would be on the following page, 342. And that shows our proposed budget in column 6. And the county executive's adjustments are in column 7. And so we were reduced by $310.
Wait a second, we don't have a 6 or 7.
We don't have a 7.
Oh, you don't have a column 7. Okay, well, he took out $310. Oh, I should get that. This is what they send me.
You mean it up to date?
I guess. I don't
Yeah, ours is from
that.
The 30th. Yours is from the 22nd.
From the 22nd. Okay.
Did you start the recorder?
Well, at least. Thank you. But thank you for the reminder. You all know me too well. This helps me see where the adjustments were. So $310 was reduced out of personnel, and that was for retirement. In other words, they recalculated the retirement for our one full-time employee, okay? And then our office supply budget was reduced by $1,571. So that's the supplies budget. And that was because the county is now on a managed print program for our copiers and printers. So all the expenses that we were paying for toner and color cartridges and the color printer and what was called the click charge, when you have a copier, we get charged for every click of the machine. That now is all centrally done by the county because they can do a volume, getting a managed print program, and reduces the overall cost. So what we would have paid is now no longer needed in our budget for those expenses. So that's the amount of the reduction. So it really, to me, it'll be a wash. It'll be even. So our total proposed budget for 2014 is $271,996. But we can walk through. Let me take you through each of... Oh, I think my pages are out of order now. The next page... Our business unit of 67100, Fund 100. This is our budget for tax levy. So the first section is all of the salary and benefits for our one support staff person. Then the next section includes our data processing costs. These are expenses that we pay to Madison to support our online 4-H youth enrollment programs. Other professional services will be the largest line item in our entire budget, and that is the salary and benefits of the 40% that the county pays for all the educators.
Whoa, there's like a little bug flying around.
And so,
sure there is.
No, it just by me. That is part of the, if you recall, last month we approved the agreement with the Board of Regents for that, so that's where that money comes from. And then telecommunications is the cell phone for me as the director. Motor vehicle maintenance is for our Ford Explorer that we drive as part of the fleet of planning and development. And then the next section are our office supplies, printing and duplicating, subscriptions, mileage and travel, and our staff development. The last are fixed expenses for liability insurance and our equipment lease and rental, which we now take out because we don't lease or rent any equipment. The last item is a zero because it's the Ag Clean Sweep, and Rose will probably talk a little bit about that tonight, but the Ag Clean Sweep is only provided every 3 years. So every third year we come to the county and ask for $500 to help support the promotion efforts to publicize the event for farmers to have a safe way to dispose of their agricultural chemicals. And that way it stays as a line item, but every 2 years it's a zero item. So that's the total levy, the $271,996. The next business unit is revenue that we bring in. This is our, no, I'm sorry, this isn't revenue. This is $67,200. These are our other professional services if we had grants, and I put in a zero because I don't have anybody coming out of that account. Books and manuals are the publications that we sell, and we still sell just a little bit of publications. Honestly, most of our publications are all online. The other operating supplies is the revenue anticipated we'd bring in for program revenue over the course of 2014. So the Rural Landowners Conference, the Spring into Gardening Conference, different events that we charge money for, we're anticipating estimate that $60,000. Youth Quest is zeroing itself out because those funds have been used up. We're done. That one won't appear anymore. Our after-school budget is the funding that we get from Kenosha Unified for our after-school ambassadors program. So this helps fund part of Bethany to coordinate that, as well as Paley Nordloff, who's our Carthage College student. And so that's where you see the salaries and FICA for that bit of a position, and then mileage and travel and other operating supplies. Then we're into the revenue. So the revenue, we don't anticipate revenue. We wait to see what our carryover is going to be, and then that's calculated at the beginning of 2014. And we'll make those adjustments so it's more accurate. The next section is the $67,200, where we have our sales of copies. This year we won't have, or 2014, we won't have the Clean Sweep grant. That's the money that Rose applies for from the Department of Agriculture to pay for the Clean Sweep. You can see in 2013 we had $24,000. So we don't apply for that grant for 3 more years. There's the revenue that I mentioned that matches the expenses for our program revenue, so the $60,000. So that's our anticipated funding for that program. And then our last page, where is my last page? Yeah, please ask me a question.
What's sundry?
Sundry meaning, that's the title they use in the accounts.
Oh.
But they put that on there. Sundry meaning, I think,
like
all encompassing, all your program revenue, not identified. You know, so because we don't always know what workshops they're going to be offering, so it's sundry, it's the compilation of all the workshops. The last page would have the business unit 67400, which is Youth Quest, and that one's zeroed out, so that'll be gone. And then the after school project is the revenue we get from Kenosha Unified, that's the $11,000. So if you look at that summary, total expenses for the business unit, the $343,011. You subtract the revenue, We have the total levy of $271,996.
So the biggest difference in the revenue going down is from the clean sweep grant.
Absolutely, clean sweep.
But mm-hmm. then the expenses aren't there either. So.
Correct. That's correct.
Any questions, please?
Seems pretty straightforward.
We like to keep it simple.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve the extension education portion of the budget by Supervisor Dodge and a second by Supervisor Underhill. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sorry, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I think we're good.
Okay. Number four. Wait. Okay, that was number three also.
Okay, that was
presented it and presented.
Okay, we did it. Okay.
That was number two, presentation, and three was review and recommendation.
Okay.
Number four, feature program, farm transition and succession. Rose. Well, we brought a tiny bit of information, so
I think you win.
Thanks, Rose.
In the last year, I've started to work in a different area of programming, which focuses on moving farms and farm businesses potentially to the next generation. So we're talking about what's farm transitions or farm succession planning. And when I think about how to make agriculture sustainable in Kenosha County, I think about a couple of things. One is maintaining farmland in Kenosha County. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. One is to maintain agricultural zoning. If it's zoned agriculture and you can't change it, land stays in agriculture. But I think that's a really good thing, but on the other hand, you also have to have something else to help farmers stay on the land, and that's sustainability. If farmers are making money, they're going to stay on the land and they're not really going to think as much about selling their land for other purposes. So those are the sort of the two things when I think about the future of farming in Kenosha County, those two things stick out as what we need to do to make sure we have farmland and farmers for the future. And so when you think about maintaining agriculture, zoning is the one. There are several programs, purchase and development rights, other things that we could do to assist farmers. And then so those are the two pieces of the puzzle. And then I think the third one is helping farmers, hello, sir.
Hi.
Helping farmers and farm businesses. And I think that's the key, because when we think about farming, generally those farm families are just that, they're families. And so sometimes it's hard to differentiate the farm business from the farm family. But when it comes to thinking about keeping that farm in the family and transferring it to the next generation, really what needs to happen is you need to think about it from a business perspective. And how can we move this business either to another generation, to someone else that might be interested in taking it over. And so in that programming, we're helping families with very diverse and unique circumstances to think through what they need to do, whether it's talk with a lawyer, set up some kind of plan, whatever it is they need to do. But really the first step that they need to take, quite honestly, is they need to start talking to each other, which I don't know what your families are like, but I can tell you in my family, communication is not the easiest thing for us all to do. We can talk to each other, but can we really have a conversation? So what I've done is I have four farm transition scenarios, and what I'd like to do is make you all farm families. And at first I was going to assign you a situation, but I think I'd rather just let you read them over and pick which one you'd like to work with. So I think we can have two families here. And girls, I hope you don't mind, maybe I'll split you up and put one of you with each of the families. So wherever you want to go is fine. So what I'd like you to do, the first thing that the farm family is going to have to do is to agree which scenario they're going to review. And then, after you all agree which scenario you want to talk about, what I'd like you to do in 15, 20 minutes is solve this entire family's problem. Now, realizing that in a true scenario, going through a farm transition process may take years. So I am asking a lot of you that you solve this entire thing in 15 minutes. But so I think for ease of moving people around, all right, so maybe we just put the three of you together, if that's okay, and then... Emily and Teddy, maybe we could have
sorry
you...
Sorry, it's
yeah.
I just sold the farm.
Would that have been... Well, I guess we have
a lot of taxes.
I'll put Emily there and I'll just observe.
Okay, that sounds good. So Emily, if you want to join them, so after you've decided what you would like to do, which farm scenario you think fits your family situation the best, then what I'd like you to do is just start talking to each other about what you think an appropriate solution would be. And so I'll be here to help you, realizing that I'm not a lawyer or an accountant, so I can't give you specifics. Really, I sort of want to make you, or not to help you think about what these families have to go through. The other thing I will say is these are all real scenarios. They're not Kenosha County examples, although quite frankly, all of them could be. So I've tried to protect the innocent. There's no one here that we wouldn't know that is listed in these scenarios. So Emily, I guess you're the one who gets to move. And then you can argue with these guys about which farming family you want to be in.
Okay.
You know, it's going to get really quiet all of a sudden because we're going to read all this.
Yes.
Well, except for your lips moving because you have to.
Discuss them.
Until I read it, I'm not discussing that.
No, I meant that you have to read with moving your lips.
Oh, you're fine.
I thought about reading them aloud, but that seemed kind of. So I'll let you all read them at your leisure.
Two, I could think of a farm family that's like that. No, number four is a mess.
I know. That's what I just said. Oh. Depressing.
Now you're related.
Just pull that table out and squeeze yourself in.
Yeah, we can make it work so that you can be
kids work.
Okay.
There we go.
Collaborative family. Right. We all want to be collaborative.
One was what happened.
Oh my God.
I'll return this to
you. No, that's not the thing. I'm looking at them for my youth and government.
And you can solve them all.
No.
Okay. Which one did you guys pick? Are you going to pick yet?
Number three.
Okay.
Number what?
Over here.
Oh, I see this family communication.
Oh, if we're picking two, I want to be the dad sitting over here like this.
We've got enough of that already. We're going three.
Three?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at how she reads so kindly and is...
Oh, they don't worry, it's going to change.
Okay.
So, give one to see the other paper.
You can go first.
Have you guys decided?
Well, I think I would do is, first off, you need a, you know, probably
are you looking at number two?
Total value, yeah, total value.
And
it seemed that the father was pretty upset with having to pay a set amount 30 years ago, which I would try to put the numbers down and say, okay, this is what we paid you 30 years ago, this is what it's worth, we've worked on it this many years. Of course, that was our living, but we also need something for retirement.
Now,
come up with a amount, and you know, and you're just going to have to sit back and forth and until you come down with an agreement on try to make everybody acceptable.
They have a plan, okay? Well, the two sons.
That's what I would do.
Let's see.
And let's say they're red and have that.
What do the two of you think?
I'm not a mediator.
But they have to pay
normally.
I read the other two.
Oh, you read the first one.
I would be able to pay
the
three
third
others.
Okay.
I don't know. If I read this right, this is the same one. No, it's only the one sibling is still working on the farm, right?
This is number two.
Yeah.
There's two brothers.
The two brothers.
Or two sons, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because then you're not paying taxes.
Seems like
the father has to pay his siblings, not his children.
Well, in the dad's still mad about having to pay everyone else to buy the farm.
He paid his
dues.
Yeah.
To buy the farm.
So,
and now it's
children, grandchildren.
Now he's getting a little older. Theoretically, it would be the right time to start thinking about transferring the farm, transitioning it to the sons.
And you might say consultant, using the farm regarding submission.
Well, I would say consultant.
Okay, so
that's what I would do.
I would agree with you.
I think he just has issues relinquishing control. Quite honestly, like, I think he doesn't worry about the fact that he's getting older.
Who he is raising,
he's selling to the kids, you just have to reach some type of an agreement and try to address his concerns.
He's really been around.
You'd have to ask the three what they feel. So how do you think you would address his concerns?
Well, we don't. It doesn't say how much he paid them.
No.
We do know it was 30 years ago.
So it can be relative to today's money.
Right. You know, there's a difference in the money back then and now. But,
because some of them might not want it. Let's
actually, that made him...
But
I would suppose, does it make them equal partners?
But
we don't know how much how much you paid them.
Right.
But if they were three equal partners.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're right. He could maintain some control and sell a portion of the business to the sons and still maintain some of it for himself. You're right.
You're what the other three have to say.
And it's been run by the father and the two sons ever since, so they've all contributed to any assets that have been gained. I think it's just spread it up three ways.
And then have the other siblings, you know, sell off their portion.
Well, the mother, what to do for mother, is that a three-way? Or
so, well, I kind of
if you and Teddy would like to work together, if you'd like to join a group, or like to just listen in on what they're doing,
she's been working there too all them years.
Right. She wants to.
She has added to the value of the farm.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, my thinking is
that's where you got to sit down and, you know, you got to say, well, okay, we'll add X amount of dollars for mom.
I'm sure you do four.
No, we're doing three.
But the The thing is,
the goal would be.
Wait a minute.
Because they did contribute to it.
But the goal would be that.
They didn't buy it from the other two brothers.
Like the value of the land or whatever it is.
So technically, it's still the dad's property.
Start to talk enough so that you can have a plan that can then go to a lawyer.
But the father inherited it from his parents.
Move to the next step.
Made him give.
Yeah, but they have.
So his parents say, okay, I'll give you this, but your two children will give this. Split it up.
First thing would be, okay, let's.
But someone had to pay. The father had to pay the other two siblings, his brothers or sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something. The kids never had to pay that, well, it was probably before they were born or whatever.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
That's okay.
Is the farm is dad's. Then he had two children, they came at the homes and started working on a farm. So I don't know how they, other than just contributing labor and being a.
Whether or not we want.
Heir, never really contributed cash money to the deal. So how would you, if you had to split that up? Other than the two kids would have to pay the father some, like an income.
Then number two is once that's.
Month later or whatever, or to turn on the farm. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're three even partners. I mean, technically you could do that, but technically the dad.
And then I need to kind of establish what's in mom's head.
He's the one who takes the rights because he, yes.
And the two kids are just kind of like tagging along.
It almost sounds like.
You know, other than him passing away and.
Now mom.
Inheritance.
How do you get it solved before that? Which is the huge.
So they can go to travel.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the huge question. This is when the son has.
Tax laws or inheritance laws come into play.
And then the other thing is, does the father want to see the farm?
So, yeah, I read it.
But the child is or eventually.
If you're going to.
So it's even worse.
They could just come down and say, well, he could just have to sell it.
Not that you know.
Whomever, the two boys are just.
He has no.
Go out.
Well, that's true, but they have different jobs.
They have to go out and find a living somewhere else.
So then.
Anytime that there's.
They have to buy.
And maybe it's, hey,
that's.
It doesn't matter
how much the.
I mean, there's a lot more to that story.
Those other two that have never been involved.
Just their three partners. If it was three partners.
That's just looking at.
Right, and well, and that's the. I can tell you what one farm family did in Kenosha County. And they have a working dairy in between. They're a blended family.
He has three
of the sons came back to the farm. One bought off the custom grain business, and he actually is off on his own. And then they had two other sons buy into the business, pay a set price that they have to pay over a certain number of years, and then they're considered. I part, but the parents
right now. No, he was buying. Yeah,
so they're partners.
So, I mean, if
they're
he,
not
if he was
equal
saying,
partners.
You know, yeah, so, you know,
but the father is still farming. He hasn't yet elected to retire, so he's also a partner in the business. So the sons are bringing equity in and are continuing to provide equity by payments of their also years. So there's a lot of. I mean, there's so many different ways that.
There's still a contribution to the farm from the sons
to the farm business.
To the farm business.
Cash or check of some sort of money.
It's
so
guessed
you would like
in
to think
Kenosha.
That he would have done that with a check.
No, it's all under. So have you guys solved?
Some kind of proof that he had this arrangement.
Conditionally,
right.
Yes.
I think they're going to have to probably.
Have you solved the dilemma?
We think so.
Okay. I'm going to give them a couple of minutes and then.
Okay.
Sorry.
They have just finalized
the
agreement.
So if one or a couple of you could report back to the group, that would be awesome.
Oh,
so the
entire
finalized.
You can
just
report back.
But at least there was an agreement that they had been working on.
You're junior, right?
Yes.
And while So between the agreement and if you send that check to show that they started.
I actually really like it.
They sound like they're.
Yeah, it's not really good.
That would help.
Yeah.
What was the worst game in town?
It's where apartment.
This is what they have been doing.
Anyway, so it's.
It's almost like an amazing voice for.
Probably, or you know for sure. You paid it.
Not at all.
Order.
We pretty much, I school district was like, okay, we want to start.
I just do transfer fund.
But we can't.
I'm thinking.
Oh, you're.
So we're partnering with Gateway. I am along with Colorado.
Right.
Oh, okay, so that's what I was gonna say. And.
Right, and then over like a percent actually, so they built it into a school.
He's a citywide sport, so we have girls.
Right, we basically, right, because I'm taking.
Oh, I'm here.
But it's in Lakeview. But all of our electives are.
How far do you have to travel?
You don't really have the traditional options.
I play like the rest of the games.
Yeah.
We play like.
And we don't really have like. And then that's what.
Okay.
It's always conscious of IA, so it's always. We have as far as like respects.
And then so.
It used to be Bradley, and now it's.
Right. We was just JV.
I just got Indian.
But this year we'll.
Oh, Indian.
But last year we were like.
Yeah.
So we had like a singer's last, I guess, this is.
And then.
Nothing.
Yeah, but we made it to.
Well, like, I think of like.
Yeah.
We lost in double overtime.
No, it was buried there somewhere.
That Arrowhead, which everyone hates.
Probably would have been.
Yeah, but they're awful. Like, they keep the rest of their money. And actually, I went to the prosecutor for the girls, and they said they spend, like, they actually.
I'm going to a traditional college.
They have a lot.
It's been terrible. Why did you pick my one?
No, I was.
This is one of the best ones, but I also want to go to academia.
And she also had it like after.
Okay.
Eventually, so. I want to go.
They
share my bachelor's for PhD, and they have a lot of.
Like Bowman.
Yeah.
Would you take off? Cross check. Bam!
Right.
I do feel like you're good. Okay.
All right, I think I'm going to bring us all back together.
Are they?
What did you do? You did bang, bang, bang? Should I do that?
Yeah.
They're not even. Oh, good.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the college, Iowa State. Are they reciprocal with Wisconsin as far as being.
Farm transition scenario two, right?
And you were farm scenario
three.
Which one did you choose?
Four.
Oh, how perfect. All right, so we're going to report back, all these families.
I spent 10 minutes waiting for the parade. That's why I was 4 minutes late here.
I didn't go through the parade. I was just going to read.
Oh, you were just late, so there's no parade.
In Paddock Lake?
Yeah, the farm equipment. Because the kids took their.
Well, how ironic that you.
I know.
I went down 16th Street.
That's so funny.
Okay, we're going to report back. Each family's going to report back what they decided to do. And interestingly enough, this is number 2, 3, and 4, so we're going to start with number 2. And just to recap number 2 really quickly, a father and 2 sons are farming together. Dad's a little mad still about having to have paid for the farm and to pay his siblings when he bought the farm from his parents many years ago. Mom has now retired from her off-farm job, and she really would like to do more than work on the farm. And so they're having some communication challenges in getting Dad and the 2 sons to talk to each other. So can you tell us what you decided as a family to do?
Well, from what we decided, there was a couple different avenues you could go down. The one we most previously discussed, or most recently discussed, was having the sons be not equal partners, and then essentially have to split the cost to pay both the parents, depending on if there's 2 people working instead of just 1 single family. You'd also have to discuss it with the other siblings that he paid, I guess, 30 years ago, depending on how much the sons would have to pay to buy the entire farm over a set period of time. I guess the other option was, instead of them actually buying the farm, since the dad doesn't really seem like he wants to retire that much, is that they could just be like not equal partners. So he still owns the business, but they own a certain portion as well, so that he can go out with his wife and travel and everything. But then they also primarily run the business, but the parents generate and manage all the revenue.
But the parents are getting more revenue because the sons are buying into the business
right.
A little bit, but they don't have complete control. Okay. How did you get Dad to start to talk?
Gave him a bottle of whiskey.
Didn't solve that
way.
Very old-fashioned.
Very good.
From Wisconsin.
All right, number three, I think it's really interesting that you picked this one because this is a really interesting scenario. A colleague just told me about this a couple of weeks ago. So it's a very real scenario. Grandpa is the owner of the farm. He's in his 80s, has complete and total control of the farm, has sons working on it, has grandchildren working on it. They're all working as employees. Nobody has any buy-in into the farm. And Grandpa is not sharing information with anybody about what the farm is worth, the kind of money he has. And ironically, it was an outside person who came in to do some talking to the family about a completely separate subject, and he is the reason they're starting to talk about this, because he said you need to do farm transition planning. So how did you solve this?
Rose, I just have a question.
Sure.
It said Grandma died. Is she the one that was doing all the finances?
You know, I don't know that I learned that information. All I know is that Grandpa has it all to himself. So I suspect if she was doing it, he took that over, because no
wow.
one else has
no
any
else
control
has that. Okay.
of that. So if she was doing it, he is now doing it.
Okay, well, we were saying that they need to talk to all the children and the two that are, they have to ask the other three if they even want to be involved in it at all.
Okay.
Because they might just be like, oh, you guys have been working on it, just we're not really interested in it. So then they could just let them handle it. And then they're talking about putting it in like a trust fund, and then having like a third party like look at it and making sure like that the finances are.
Yeah, Grandpa was gonna be encouraged to either sit down with a third party, maybe an independent, because maybe that's why he's not been sharing finances.
It's because he doesn't want to share it with his family members.
Right. So third party, boom, and the third party talks to each one of the siblings independent, just acts as a liaison. Mm-hmm. And that way you can get a true perspective of, do you want it, you know, do you not. Okay, if you don't want to be involved, then what are your expectations? Doesn't mean they're going to get it, perhaps.
Right.
You know, but if they never come around and you hardly get to see them, don't feel an obligation to necessarily banter. But Grandpa might feel different. So
right.
I want to try and get that liaison
started to talk
started.
To them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which would be tough. So, but it's one of those things you just got to remind them, you're 80, you ain't going to live forever.
Do something, please.
Yeah. Or it's
going to be as I said, we're assuming that he's going to farm till he dies. He might get ill and be in a home or wherever
right.
for 5-10 years.
Right. Which could really throw the family
the whole
into
place
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge challenge for the family if something happens to Grandpa. You're exactly right. Thank you. You both had number four. In this situation, it's mom and adult son. Dad has passed away. Mom started to sell the farm or sell equipment and animals to the son, and then made plans to actually sell the farm to the son who's working on the farm, and then she passes away unexpectedly. There's no paperwork to show what's been done, and now all the siblings are coming together to try to sort this out. So.
So we are hoping that where it says that mom started to sell the equipment and animals to her son, that there was some sort of
receipt,
or maybe he used a check
right.
to purchase some of
so
that,
there's proof.
So that there's some sort of proof that he was actually purchasing it from her. There was, they did finalize an agreement, so between the finalized agreement and maybe his check stubs, maybe the other two siblings would see that this was actually happening, that
right.
he was working on purchasing it from her. And then, I mean, they never wanted anything in the past to do with the farm, but as we all know, when parents pass away, there's a money-grabbing situation, no matter what they've been doing. So, I don't know. Get that will done.
Yeah, and one of the things...
Did they not have a will at all? Dad and mom were younger than
the
family?
You know, and this was given to me sort of third party, but what I would guess is, you know, with Wisconsin laws the way it is, if one spouse passes away, everything automatically gets transferred to the living spouse. And so you almost don't have to have a will presiding.
Yeah, when the mob passes,
well, that's where the situation gets dicey. I mean, the way I understand, and again, I'm not an expert in this, the way I understand Wisconsin laws is that the property is passed equally to all of the remaining children. Now, this is interesting. What is equal versus fair? And that's a huge discussion point that we've had when we talk about farm transitions, is what's theoretically equal, spreading the, okay, if you have a farm worth $500,000 and five kids, you sell the farm, each kid gets $100,000. Now, if one of the kids wanted to buy the farm and farm it, is that fair? It may have been equitable treatment of all of the children, but was it fair to the child that wanted to farm? And so that's where I think farm situations get challenging, is because equal does not always mean fair, and money becomes a challenge, especially in our area where land prices can be quite astronomical. So very challenging stuff. So thank you for becoming families and working together. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Is this something you're commonly running into a little bit?
Or
how do you see yourself, you know, because clearly it's not an issue that will go away, right?
Right.
Every time it happens, you've got to know, oh, man, wish
right.
I had done something.
The most common situation that I see, and I actually hear it from the younger generation, is we're just waiting for them to die. So I think more commonly is nothing is done. There's a generic will that passes the farm equally down, but it doesn't designate one sibling versus the other. I think there's a statistic that says 73% of all farm families don't have a plan. So if you really intend to look at it as a business, there should be a plan for that business to continue. And
yeah,
so,
the transition.
Right.
Well,
so
that if it's not a trust, they're paying all these inheritance taxes,
right.
too.
It's a challenge. Yeah.
And a lot of times, many times, they can't afford the inheritance tax, so they have to sell the farm.
Right. And that's why, I'm just starting to get into this type of education, but that's why I've seen it to be such a crucial thing that we need to start to talk about, because if we really want to see these farm families continue in the generation after generation, somehow we have to help the younger generation get the opportunity to get on the farm.
So do you see this as a scenario where, obviously you're kind of looking at it and thinking, about, gee, there's some educational opportunities here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to get the word out, would you use something as an example like the county fair booth or something along those lines of that, you know, think about your transition plan or something along those lines? Or what are your thoughts?
Do they have classes at in college?
There's a lot of things going on in the state. We're just starting. We just did a farm transition workshop 2 weeks ago, and we had 10 families participate, and it was really the first steps. But I was excited that we had so many families come, and we had one family of 7 that attended, another family of 4. So, you know, folks are obviously starting to realize that they need to do something. And to answer your question about how we're getting the word out, I think that the fair is one potential way, although to be perfectly honest, I think most farmers come to the fair to recreate.
Yeah.
I don't think they come to be educated, and so I think that we need to go and find other avenues where farmers are already attending, you know, maybe through the Farm Bureau where they're members, or Wisconsin Farmers Union, finding ways to educate them where they're already sort of in the mode to be educated versus in the mode to enjoy themselves. But I think just by virtue of also starting to have these classes, we're sort of throwing ourselves out there to say, hey, resources.
How was the reception or the feedback you got from the 10 families?
Well, interestingly, and I was telling Teddy today, I think it's been our most successful program that we've done so far as how people rated the information that they received and how grateful they were to just get the opportunity to start to talk about it. Because I think that's the huge issue, is that, you know, nobody wants to start that discussion.
No.
I can tell you, I'm
talking about their dad dying.
Right. I can tell you, I had one farmer that straight up looked at me in the eye and said, "I'm waiting for my dad to die." So, if you don't have that communication where you can have a successful transfer, that's basically what's going to happen. But the reality is that we've got all these legal things in play that make it more challenging to inherit a farm if you
you don't have
a plan.
A plan, yeah.
Right. So I think the workshops can provide that safe place for the family. You know, this one family sent seven members. I think it becomes a safe place for the family to learn together, to say, wow, we really do need to be thinking about this.
Right.
And so if they all hear the information at the same time, then they're forced to start to put some process in place for how they're going to make some decisions.
Right. So and the good thing is that there's also, we're not trained facilitators, but we can go into farm situations and sit down at the kitchen table. We also have folks from the Farm Center through the Department of Agriculture who go in and do this as a full-time job. And they've told me stories about, you know, things are thrown across the kitchen when they're, you know, in the process of talking to families, and they just sit and wait until the plates have been thrown, and then, you know, hopefully the dialogue will continue. But that's really where it's at, is this very emotional place where communication can be very challenging, because for those that want the farm, there's an attachment to it, there's a reason why you want to stay on it. Those who have been off the farm may not have any attachment to the farm at all, and all they're thinking about is, you know, right.
Yeah, they feel that they right. Because I'm just blood, I deserve
right. I deserve
to be further from
right.
The truth.
Fair versus equal.
Yeah, right.
This could happen. I mean, this is farms. This
it
is
can
just,
happen in any.
Everybody needs to do this.
Right.
I mean, when I was working at Chrysler, the UAW would come in and have classes for retirement. I mean, so you can plan. I mean,
right.
Everybody needs to plan.
You're right.
The earlier the better.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And have a will.
I mean,
it's not that difficult to,
to do. And good lawyers will tell you, work it out, and then come in and we'll develop the paperwork. Don't cut, you know, my dad went through the process of putting together a trust. And the lawyer basically said to him, figure it out and then come back. Because otherwise you're paying them a whole lot of money to have them do something that you could have done, which is why I wanted to do this, because this is really what we want families to do, is work it all out and then involve the folks that you have to pay to get this done right. And so there can be a lot of challenges along the way. But you're absolutely right. I have a colleague who has an adult with disabilities, or a child who's an adult with a disability, and she has to think about, okay, when we're gone, what happens to our adult child? And so she's also going through the process of putting together wills and trusts to make sure that her daughter's taken care of. So you're right. It's not just farm families that are struggling with this.
I know you got to concentrate on one thing.
Right, right. Yeah, this is
what I'm doing. And that's good. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah. Any other questions? Well, I appreciate you participating and getting involved in these families.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rose, you're our only educator, so do you want to give a couple of other updates
quickly,
on some
sure.
of the programs you were about?
Well, ironically, since I knew that Aaron and Kim would be here, I thought you might be interested in this, and I thought maybe I'd even give you more than one. we're having and this is in February. If y'all don't want this piece of paper, you don't have to.
My fingers are burning right now, but I'm not.
So in February, we work collaboratively with Illinois Extension, and we have been doing these annual programs for, I would say, at least the last 10 years, and it's generally held at the county building here. And every year we focus on a different topic, but I'll be honest, I really brought that just for these ladies so they could but what I did want to talk about just real quickly is we do have our Rural Landowner Conference coming up on November 2nd. This is designed for folks who own rural lands who may not be farming. They could be farming, but they may not be. And so we do provide information on different opportunities on how to manage the land. The thing I wanted to point out, though, is that for the second year, we are having an electronics waste collection in the parking lot on the day of the Rural Landowner Conference. And we do have a separate flyer or a poster for the electronic waste event. So if anyone would like to get it out to their constituents, we'd be happy to email you the poster. We're working with a different business that's collecting the e-waste this year, and they do
Last year, everything was free. This year, everything but TVs will be free. There is a fee for collecting TVs because apparently there's something in the TV that they actually have to pay to dispose of, and so they pass that cost along to the participants. Any questions of me?
Clean sweep, please.
Clean sweep. Oh, thank you. Last week, we held the agricultural clean sweep, which is the item in the budget that Teddy mentioned. It is a grant from the Department of Agriculture that we have to apply for. It's a three-county event, Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. We specifically write for it because agricultural waste generally has a tendency to be bigger and different than household waste, and so they do like to have that collected separately from household collections. We served 18 farmers. We don't know the amount of waste that came in yet, but I can tell you we collected a heck of a lot of waste oil, which shouldn't be a surprise considering where it was coming from. So we appreciate Kenosha County supporting us in making sure we can do that every year, or every third year.
I do. My one update would be to just mention and thank Emily and Chairman Bruning for attending the visioning session last Thursday night for our youth development position. We had a great group of people participating, and I think 8 or 10 flip chart sheets of paper of issues that they identified that could be priorities for this position. So we'll look for that person that walks on water. Can address many issues.
And he lives up north.
So we're still compiling all that information to help focus that position description. I have a telephone conference to help finalize what the position description will look like. The position will require a master's degree, but I'll encourage all of you to help us promote that to folks that you know would be eligible to apply, and we'll get that position on its way. So thank you. It was a good session. Lots of good input.
Does the master's degree requirement a state requirement?
It is.
UW requirement?
It is.
And why do you think that that's associated with that position?
It's all of our faculty positions require a master's degree. So that's the rank of the position, and that's the minimum requirement to hold in a faculty position.
In UW.
In cooperative extension in Wisconsin.
But that comes down from UW.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then they have to go through tenure, too.
Correct. This position will be eligible for tenure by its sixth year.
Mm-hmm. And then one job did that.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have. Anyone else?
Yeah, I got one thing. At the Wisconsin County Association's meeting, John, I can never pronounce his last name, had a workshop, or he was involved in a workshop with UW Extension, and he highlighted the Youth and Governance Program and used all of our information for the conference. And there was a lot of people asking him questions about it from different counties. Madison has their Youth and Governance Program started. I don't know where it's at. As far as how many they got, they didn't elaborate. There was one person mentioned Madison, but there was a lot of people interested in the program. So, and he did a very super job, made us look really good.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you, John.
Yeah, really.
Still making us look good.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Made us look good.
I know Bethany would want to mention that. When is the awards thing? I gotta look.
I believe it is in 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks?
Last Monday?
The last Tuesday. It is on Tuesday the 29th. It's the 4-H awards night. I know Donna sent an email out inviting everyone. It's here. It's there's 6:30 is the open house and it starts at 7. So if anyone would like to come, I know that Bethany would like that.
Absolutely.
Which day?
Tuesday the 29th of October.
At what time again?
Open house is at 6:30. Presentation starts at 7.
Anyone else?
Motion to adjourn.
No, we don't adjourn.
You can't adjourn.
We can move into the other room, though. Okay.